We're in our fourth lesson in the six-week series, Ancient Wisdom for Modern Money Management. And as I've mentioned the last 3 weeks, all of us manage money. And again, I want to expand it this morning. All of us are managers of something. We either manage money, we manage time, we manage our relationships. And our testimonies are either built or destroyed by how we manage the resources that God gives us. Okay, I mean, they are built and destroyed by how we manage money. They can be built and destroyed by how we manage time. They can be built and destroyed by how we manage relationships. And so because God is interested in how we manage what he's given us, he includes a lot of wisdom and a lot of instruction in the Bible about how we should do that. The lessons that we're looking at for this six-week series are all found in the book of Proverbs. Most of Proverbs was written by Solomon, although who was the wisest man that ever lived. Although the lesson we're going to look at this morning was written by another man, not Solomon. But again, God included it in the scripture, and so it's wisdom that he wants us to have. And so just to remind you real quickly, we've had three lessons so far. View money properly. That our contentment, our security doesn't come from things, it comes from God. Make agreements cautiously. Whatever agreements we make, we need to make sure that they're wise agreements. We need to pray about them and make sure that we don't get into situations that could put us in a hole. And then last week, earn money productively. We talked about work. It always isn't easy, but it's always necessary. And today is manage money diligently, or again, I'm going to expand it and say manage resources diligently, the things that God has given us. We need to act responsibly and again, treat the things that God has given us as gifts from him, as resources from him that we ought to use in a way that's pleasing to him. We're in Proverbs 31 this morning. The part of the book it's a poem that talks about a virtuous woman. It's a well-known part of Proverbs. It's a passage of scripture that talks about an ideal wife, a devoted mother, a dedicated child of God. And actually, this portion of scripture, it starts in verse 10 and goes down through verse 31. And we're only going to look at part of it this morning. But it's an acrostic. Each of those 22 verses in the original, in the Hebrew, start with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And they're in order. So like in our alphabet, you know, A, there would be a verse that starts with A, then the next verse would start with B. And so the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet is Alpha. So the first verse starts with, Alpha and so on down the line. Used other places in the Old Testament. There's some Psalms written that way. Probably as a help for people that are trying to memorize it. But I think it also, in this case, could talk about the range of a Christian woman's excellence. It goes from Alpha to Omega, from A to Z, from beginning to end. And I know, even though some of the men might be thinking, well, this passage of the scripture is written about women, and so it doesn't have much application to me, I would just remind you that the book of Proverbs was written by a father to his son, giving him wisdom. And so when the father includes in Proverbs 31 this poem or this passage of scripture that deals with ladies, it does contain wisdom or principles that apply to everybody, regardless of whether you're a man or a woman. If you desire to manage the resources that God gives you diligently, there are principles that are displayed in the life of this lady that's talked about in Proverbs 31 that can be applied in anybody's life. It was written by King Lemuel, L-E-M-U-E-L. He was not a king of Israel. Most Bible scholars think he was a king of a nation, but that again, that wasn't Israel, but that he came to know and to love and to worship the God of Israel. Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, starts with a list of goals of wisdom. If you have wisdom, this is what can be accomplished. And it ends in chapter 31 with this example of one who has chosen to live by wisdom and how it has affected her life. Sometimes we read passages like this and we get discouraged. And we say, oh, well, I could never be like that person. I can never employ the wisdom and display the wisdom that they employ. And they walk away from passages like this. And I would just encourage you this morning, this is a passage of instruction. It's not a checklist that, you know, you measure yourself against, but it's an instruction. And it ought to be our goal to live by the wisdom that this godly woman displayed in her life. And again, when we talk about it, the context is money. The context is physical possessions. But I want you, as you think about the lesson, I want you to expand your thought. I want you to think about the other things that God has given us. I want you to think, for example, about time. I want you to think about relationships. I want you to think about talents. Personality. Okay? Did you ever stop and realize your personality was a gift from God? I mean, He invests that in you. He wants you to use it, and how you use it will determine if He gives you more of it or not. And really, our use of what He gives us comes down basically to being a good steward. There was a statement in the study books that you have. If you've read your lesson, it's in the lesson. But the author made the statement, he made a statement about stewardship that caught my eye. And as I looked at the lesson a couple, three times, it caught my eye every time. And so I decided that God wanted me to include it in what I was teaching this morning. But he said this: stewardship is utilizing God-given abilities to manage God-given resources to accomplish God-ordained results. So God gives us resources. Then He gives us the ability to manage those resources. And He does so that we will accomplish what He wants us to accomplish with those resources. Okay? So I want you to keep that statement in the back of your mind. That's what stewardship is all about. Using the abilities that God has given us to manage the resources that God has given us to accomplish the purposes, the God ordained purposes that He wants. Now, the author breaks the lesson down into three parts, as they usually do. I've decided to go a different direction. I've broken it down into three parts, okay? So here's the three parts I'm going to break the lesson down into. First of all, work to develop the assets that God has given. The things that God gives us, a lot of them are in a raw or undeveloped state, okay? And it takes work to develop, okay? And so we need to work to develop the resources, the assets that God has given us. Number two, we need to work to increase or expand the assets that God gives us. Again, as we manage those resources properly, as I was talking about a minute ago, in most cases, God will give us more. As He sees that His investment is sort of paying off, that we are using what He's given us to accomplish what He wants to accomplish, He says, well, I'm going to give Him more. I'm going to give Him more. And we need to make sure that we work to capture more of what God wants us to have. And then number three, work to use those resources or those assets for the benefit of your family and others. Okay? He just didn't give them to you to have. He gave them to you for a purpose. And that purpose is to help, is to take care of the folks that He's entrusted you to take care of, your family, and then to help others as well. Okay, so we start in Proverbs 31. It's not the beginning of the poem, but we start in verse 13. Proverbs 31. Here's what the Bible says, talking about this virtuous woman. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. All right, so this is a part of the lesson. I want to make the point that we need to work to develop the resources that God has given us. So it talks about wool and flax. And again, both of those things were made to use to make clothes. Wool was very plentiful. There were a lot of shepherds in Israel. And in the nations that surrounded them, there were a lot of sheep. Wool grows on sheep. And so, because there was a lot of sheep, there was a lot of wool. It was very plentiful. Wool was used to make warm clothing, okay? I guess they make light wool suits, but when you think about wool, you think about something that will protect you from the cold. You think about something heavy that's worn in cold weather. Flax grows in stalks. It can also produce fibers that can make clothes, usually linen clothes, light clothes, clothes that can be worn in the heat, clothes that can be worn in the hot time of the year. Now, the processing of both wool and flax takes work, okay? Now, if you're going to make wool into thread so that you can make clothes, just think about the steps that you have to go through. You have to shear the sheep, okay? How many of you ever saw a sheep shorn? Anybody? All right, lots of people. It's an interesting process, but it's work, okay? They don't like it. You're cutting off all their hair, so to speak, and they don't like it. But you got to shear the sheep, you got to wash it, and then you got to spin it into cloth so that you can make clothes. Same thing with flax. You got to plant the stalks, then you got to harvest it, and then you got to take the fibers off of the plant, and again, turn those into thread that can be used to make clothes. And so, again, this virtuous woman seeketh wool and seeketh flax. She seeks it to make clothes for her family. She seeks it to make clothes for others that she's going to help. But I want you to realize that as she turns that wool into flax and flax into clothes, she's exerting a lot of work. Now, the same is true with the resources that God gives us. Again, just don't think about money. Think about talents. Think about time. Think about relationships. Usually, they are given to us in raw state. Talents are probably the easiest one to think about. Okay? Now, there are some people that are born musical geniuses, for example. But those people still have to practice. They still have to hone their talent. They still have to work at it. The same thing is true if you're going to manage your time. God gives a raw amount of time to everybody, but it takes work to manage it. It takes work to budget it. It takes discipline to stick to that budget, okay? And if we're going to use what God has given us diligently, wisely, however you want to say it, it's going to take work for us to do it. And it's up to us to do that. God doesn't give us the talent, and then we can skip the step of the work to make it usable. He says, no, that's your responsibility. I'll give you what you need to work with, but it's your responsibility to develop it so that you can use it for the purpose that I want you to have. There are some people that are given a natural talent to sing, but even those that have a natural talent to sing need to practice. And sometimes that's work in order, again, to use the gift in a way that God wants us to use it. Even your personality, you might think, well, my personality was just given to me by God. I would say that, again, that God has given you the raw personality and that you have developed it over time in your interactions with other people. there were probably things about your personality that weren't pleasing to God that you had to weed out of your personality with the sage counsel of other people in your life. And so even that takes to work to develop so that we can use it the way God wants us to use it. And as we develop, we try things. We try different things. They don't always work. And so we back off and we try other things. And again, like we talked about last week, the practice, the work that it takes to do that, it may not always be pleasant, but it's always necessary because, again, in order to live up to what God wants us to do, in order to live up to our potential, in order for us to use the resources in the way that God wants us to use them to accomplish the results that He wants us to accomplish, we need to work at it and develop those things so that they can be everything that God wants to be. Now, notice the word seeketh. She seeketh wool. She seeketh flax. This lady goes out and looks for the best raw material. She doesn't just settle for anything. She wants the best. And it's the same thing in our life. We shouldn't settle for mediocrity. We shouldn't settle for just being average. We ought to want the best. Look, if you have a talent, if you're going to play a musical instrument, strive to be the best. And I'm not saying to compete and get into all to worry about if you're the number one chair or anything like that. I'm just saying that you ought to strive to be the best that God has enabled you to be. If that takes practice, you need to practice. Same thing with time. We ought to strive. We ought to want to be the best manager of time that we can be. Don't just settle, well, I'm better than I was. Well, good. That might happen by accident. Have a plan. Work the plan. I don't know about you, but I want to squeeze everything into life that I can. I'm like everybody else. I have 24 hours a day. And so the better I can be to manage my time, again, I think God, if you work hard to manage your time, I think God will give you more of it. Again, not more hours on the clock, but He'll make the things that you do more productive so that you'll have more time. But we ought to strive. We ought to have the goals. I want to be the best manager of my time. I want to be the best manager of my talents. I want to be the best manager of my personality. I want to develop it, even though it takes work, so that I can accomplish what God wants me to accomplish with those things that He's given me. Notice that it also says, she worketh willingly. That's a word that denotes delight and pleasure. So as she sets out to find the best ingredients, as she works to make it into the wool thread and the flax thread so that she can make clothes for her family, it isn't a drudgery. It isn't a chore. It's something she looks forward to. It's something she gets excited about doing. It's something that she thinks is a privilege to do. And it's the same thing that should apply to the things that God has given us. As we work to be the best that we can be so that we can accomplish what God wants us to accomplish, it ought not to be a chore. It ought not to seem like work. We ought not to say, oh, I got to do this. We ought to say, I get to do this. I enjoy doing it because it's going to turn into something that God can use to accomplish what He wants to accomplish. And so, and again, we may not live in the constant state of an excitement because it is a lot of work. But we ought to get excited about what God has given us and the fact that He gives us the ability to hone it, to develop it, to make it better than it is, so that, again, not for our glory, but so that we can accomplish what He wants us to accomplish when He gave us what He gave us in the first place. I don't know about you, but I get excited when I think about that. God has invested in me. The Creator God, the God that made the whole world, has invested in me. Talents, not many, but some. Time, personality. And He gives me the abilities that I need to make those better so that I can do what He wants me to do. Verse 14. She's like a merchant ship bringeth her food from afar. Now, at first glance, this phrase may not seem very complimentary. I don't know of many women or men, for that matter, that would like to be compared to a merchant ship, a big, bulky sailing ship. But the King Lemuel is not saying that a woman looks like a ship. He's not even saying that she sails the seas like a ship. But here's what he's saying. She goes to great lengths. She stretches herself outside the roles usually assigned to a woman. Back in this day especially, we're going to talk about women buying property. They didn't usually do that. This lady probably did the planting. Maybe she even did the shearing. Again, roles that weren't usually assigned to women. But what the king was trying to bring out is that she'll go to great lengths and she'll stretch herself, even stepping outside of normal rules, so that she can bring her food from afar. And so as she works to develop what God has given her, she's willing to go to great lengths. She's willing to stretch herself. She's willing to do whatever's necessary. And the same ought to be true of us. If we want to be the best, sometimes we have to get outside of our comfort zone. Sometimes we have to do things that we've never done before. Sometimes we have to do things that it's uncomfortable when we do it the first time. But if we do it, it'll help us develop that talent. It'll help us, some people, they like to sing in the shower. They're very uncomfortable singing in public. But if they sing in public, it's stretching themselves, again, to develop that talent that God wants them to use. I'm sure God has a purpose for singing in the shower. I'm sure it's an encouragement to the one doing the singing, because we usually don't care how well we sing, just that we're singing. And so I'm sure God has a purpose for that. But if we can get to the point where we can share it with others, God has a greater purpose for that. And so she'll go to great lengths. And then she riseth also while it is yet night. In other words, she gets up before the sun comes up. In verse 18, which we're going to talk about in a minute, the Bible says, her candle goeth not out by night. And so what the king Lemuel is saying is that this virtuous woman works from before the sun comes up till after the sun goes down. Again, to provide meat to her household. Now, so what he's saying, she keeps the end result in view. She's always focused on the end result. The end result, in her case, in this example we're given, is to provide clothes for her family. The end result is to provide food for her family. And so she'll go to great lengths. She doesn't want just the average. She wants the best. She'll go to great lengths, like a sailing vessel travels afar to bring the food back. She'll look for the best wool and the best flax to make the clothes. And so she'll do all that. She's motivated to do that by keeping the end result in mind. And so that ought to be our motivation. Our motivation is not the process. It's not the work that we go through to develop the resource. It's the end result that God wants us to accomplish. It's the purpose, the God-ordained purpose that he wants us to accomplish. That's what we ought to keep in view. That's what ought to be our motivation. So she puts in long hours. She puts in long days because she has that end result in mind. And it says that she shares a portion with her maidens. So she shares a portion with her servants. Now, again, you might read that and say, well, she gives her servants food. She gives her servants clothes. But that portion, word portion, also means rule, decree, or something prescribed. So she manages those servants that work for her. She directs them. She gives them assignments to assist her in doing what she's doing. they assist her in reaching the long-term goal. In this case, they assist her in making clothes for her family. They assist her in providing food for her family. Listen, one of the assets that God gives us is other people. He puts other people in our life to hone and sharpen us so that he can use those people to help develop our talents, our skills, our use of time, our personality. He puts people in our... I mean, all of you can probably think, hey, I can think of one or two people that has had a dramatic effect on my personality. They have shaped me. It might be a parent. It might be a sibling. It might be a close friend. But all of us can think about people that God has put in our life to help us develop the things that God has given us. And it's not a one-way relationship, okay? I mean, this lady gave a portion to her servants as they served her in helping her accomplish the end that God wanted her to accomplish. Same way, when God puts people in our life, they are to help us hone our talents and our skills, but usually it's a two-way relationship. We're in their life to help them do the same thing. And so it goes both ways. So again, my first point, which is usually the longest one, and I don't know why it's usually the longest one. Maybe it's because I got more time and I don't take the time for the other two. But we need to work to develop the things that God has given us. He's invested in us, and we need to work to develop them to the full potential, again, so we can use them to accomplish what he wants us to accomplish. All right, let's go to the second part of the lesson, which is, in my outline, to work to increase or expand the resources or the assets that God's given us. Verses 16 and 17. She considereth a field, and buyeth. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. That word considereth means to think about, devise a plan, or plot out a purpose. The field is another asset. It's something that this woman did not have before. It's something that she purchased to add to her list of resources, to add to her list of assets. And that's what that word, she buyeth it. So she added it to what she had. And she probably used that field to plant a vineyard. Again, by the fruit of her hands. And again, now she has something else that she didn't have before. She has a vineyard. Another asset. So, as we work to develop our talents, for example, oftentimes God gives us another one. As we work to develop our relationships, oftentimes God gives us another one. As we manage our money responsibly, we usually have more money to manage. As we manage our time responsibly, again, we usually have more time to manage. And again, God tests us. I mean, God tests us. I mean, he doesn't give us the whole bundle of things that he has planned for our life when we first get saved. I mean, he gives us all of salvation. He gives us all of the Holy Spirit. But he doesn't give us everything that he eventually wants us to have. He waits till we prove ourselves faithful. He waits till we prove ourselves good stewards. And then he will give us more to manage. Again, I'll just quickly refer back to the parable in Matthew chapter 25. Servant had five, servant had two, servant had one. The first two servants served diligently. They invested. They doubled their master's money. So the first one had 10, second one had 4. The third one took the one that he was given, buried it, did not use it, didn't even put it in the bank to draw interest. And when the master came back, he commended the first two. He said, enter into your reward. And then he condemned the one that had the one talent and didn't use it. That's the way God works with us. The things that he's given us, if we use them in a way that's pleasing to him, if we manage them diligently, He'll say, okay, I'm going to give you more. But if we don't, oftentimes God says, okay, I'm going to take it away. I've known people that have had beautiful voices, but they took it for granted. I mean, they didn't use them. And God said, okay, I'll take them away. And they got to the point where they couldn't sing. Same thing. God will take away those things that he's an investor. If we're not going to use it, he'll give it to somebody that will use it. He'll give it to somebody that will pay him returns, so to speak, accomplishing what he wants to accomplish. That next verse that talks about girdeth herself and strengtheneth her arms. That word girdeth is a word that is used to talk about soldiers as they make ready before they go to war. But both of those phrases, they speak to the personal efforts that this lady makes to develop her talents and to expand her talents, to expand the resources that God has given. Look, the work that God has given us to do is important work. I often think about that verse in Nehemiah, where when Nehemiah was involved in building the wall, and his enemy said, hey, come on, we need to meet together. We need to talk about this. Come on down, let's have a meeting. And Nehemiah says, I can't come down. I'm doing a great work. Every single person needs to realize that the work they're doing for God is a great work. What you do in your life, how you use the resources that God has invested to you is a great work. You may say, oh, but preacher, I don't have the same responsibilities you do. I don't have the same opportunities that you have. Listen, it doesn't make any difference. In God's sight, your opportunities and your responsibilities are just as important in God's sight as mine are. They're different. I cannot do what God wants you to do. I cannot accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. Nobody else can. You're the only one that can. Now think about it. God chose you. He gave you a set of talents and abilities and skills and resources. He invested them in you. He gives you the abilities to manage them, so you can accomplish what he wants to accomplish. Nobody else can do that. That makes you great in his sight. And so we ought not to take it for granted. We ought not to fluff it off. We ought to say like Nehemiah, I am doing a great work, and I'm going to give it all I got. I'm going to give it my best. That's what those phrases mean. She girdeth herself. She strengtheneth her arms. She looked for ways to increase the resources that God gave her. All right, then the last part of the lesson, real quickly. Work to use the assets for the benefits of family and others. Verses 18 through 21. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. That word perceiveth in verse 18 literally means to taste. Okay? But it also figuratively means to see or to sense. That word merchandise is profits or gains. In other words, it's the results of using what God has given you, managing them diligently. And that word good speaks to the quality of the results or the productivity of the effort. So, this lady, she works hard to develop her talents, her skills, to develop the resources that God has given her. She works hard to expand them. She sees that they are good. In other words, what she accomplishes is good. What she accomplishes is the God-ordained results. Remember the definition of stewardship? It's using God-given ability to manage God-given resources to accomplish God-ordained results. What this lady sees as good is the God-ordained results. She sees how God uses her, how God uses what he's given her. She sees what she's accomplishing. Again, in her case, it's to provide clothes and food for her family. And she says, it's good. It's good. Now, God wants us to do the same thing. As we use his abilities to manage his resources in our life, he wants us to see the results that he will accomplish as good. God's plan is always good. His plan is always good. It's always good. And we ought to keep the big picture in mind so that we will be motivated to work to develop the resources, to work to expand them, and then to use them for the benefit of those that he's entrusted us to care for, our family, and to others. And to others. All right. So, in these verses, we see a virtuous woman. She's creative, she's industrious, she's astute, she is devoted, she is kind, she is a good example. She not only did what was expected, she went beyond what was expected. And she developed to the full potential those things that God had put in her life to use to accomplish his results. We ought to do the same thing. Again, God has invested in each of us. He's invested in each of us. He's given us talents. He's given us abilities. He's given us time. He's given us personality. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose that he wants to accomplish through us with those resources, with those abilities that he's given us to manage. And so we need to work at it. We need to work at it. We need to bring glory to him by accomplishing what he wants us to accomplish. So, lesson about a lady, but a good lesson for every single person. It's got some good principles in it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that it has for us. And I pray, again, that we not just be hearers of the word, that we'd be doers. Help us to realize that we are endowed by you. Every good gift comes from you. Everything we have comes from you. And that you want us to develop it so that we can use it to bring honor and glory to you. So help us as we set out to do that. I pray you'll be with us in the service that follows. Father, use it. I pray there'll be people here that don't know Christ as we talk about salvation. They'd see their sin. They'd come to the Savior. I pray as we speak to Christians about certain things that will also be obedient to what the Holy Spirit tells us this morning. Just help us to uplift our Savior, for it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning.